As I was preparing this message, you know, I know that this is part six. I think it says so behind me.
Yes, it does.
It does. So we know that we're on part six of your inheritance. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I prepare a message, I get so excited about the message and I'm praying that everybody's here. Why? Because we all need to hear this message. And I trust that this message is going to bring some liberty and freedom to some of you today because of understanding who God is, what our position is, where He has placed us, what we're doing, and how we can function. And of course, the big subject is your inheritance and what that means and how we can function and live and walk and breathe in our inheritance in order that we don't live a subpar life as a Christian. So turn with me to the book of Ephesians, please. Or anywhere you like. If my life group doesn't know where Ephesians is by now, they're in big trouble. And what I want to preach about this morning now I've got your attention. Your inheritance, it's a package deal. How so, Mark? I'm so glad you asked that question. It's all inclusive. Yes, there we go. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, let's just read from verse 15. And this is a prayer of revelation that Paul is praying. He says, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith and your love towards all the saints." Remember, he's writing this letter to a church, the church at Ephesus, but we're going to take it today and say he's writing to the church at the bridge. And so he says, "I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love." Those are two great characteristics of a Christian, faith and love. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation." I'm reading it slowly because I want to be emphatic about what we're saying. "In the knowledge of Him." I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened." Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. We understand that salvation is the first step that we take in coming to Jesus Christ. But we also need to have our hearts of our eyes enlightened. We need more enlightenment in the wisdom and of the knowledge of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he asks three questions. "That you may know what is the hope to which He has called you." That means us. What is the hope He's called us to? "What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints?" There's an inheritance that's greater than we could imagine in the saints. We are the saints. We're all the saints here. That is the second question. And the third question, "What is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us?" There is a hope. There's a glorious inheritance and there's immeasurable power to us, which I think some of us most of the time have never tapped into. This is good news. This is a good message. My greatest critic's gone to Sunday school this morning. Louise's here too. So they take me home and they beat me up. "Pray for me." I'm joking. "What is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His great might?" Remember we sang this morning, everything happens that I will believe. Believing is a vital point. You think, well, I believe in Jesus, I'm cool, I'm okay. Well, I hope by the end of the message today you're going to say, wow, there's more I need to believe. I need to have a deeper faith. There's grace of God in me and there's faith in me and I believe more today than I did before. When we speak of inheritance, I don't want for you to allow the enemy to dumb it down, to a patch of land or a nice home or a wonderful bank account, which are all nice and good things, but they are not the inheritance I'm speaking about. The inheritance I'm talking about is the glorious inheritance. I love little Matthew's word this morning. Did you get what this kid was praying this morning? I know he's 8 and that he wants the vegetables and all that stuff to grow, but we have to look behind all that stuff and see the glory of God. That was his prayer. That the glory of God would come in this place. The glory of God would come in your lives. Good word. I want us to get that our inheritance is now, what we live in now, and still yet to come in our eternal salvation. There is the scripture talks about an eternal, so not you're going to get reborn again, but it's an eternal salvation forever and ever and ever and ever. And your inheritance now is for you to be a world changer. Your story of salvation, it's a package deal. I'm excited. I hope you get excited with me. Your inheritance is not simply to make you feel good, but inheritance that gives you the power and the authority to change the habits and the patterns of your life. Thank you, Ken. Anybody else want to agree? You can say amen, and you can actually stand up and you can wave a hanky or a Kleenex. I'm cool with that. It is the undeniable glory of God to make a difference in you. Remember we did the whole thing about your oikos? To make a difference in those around you, you touch the lives. It doesn't matter where you go, you will take your inheritance with you. Where you walk, as Kevin said, where we stand in our inheritance, where we walk, where we go, where we live, we have an inheritance that we carry and take with us into God's glory. And by that I mean your schools, your colleges, the varsity, your neighborhood, the shops, your home, your work, your jobs, your careers. Imagine with me, if we walked in the fullness of our inheritance, when I arrive somewhere, there will be revival. People's hearts will be revived towards Jesus Christ. And with the revival comes its twin sister or twin brother called reformation. People's lives will be reformed. They will be changed because of God's glory. We will be emissaries. We will be agents of change for Him. Now I just want to lay out some things. Let's see if I can do this right. There we go. Number one, forgiveness and eternal security. Or as I like to put it, forgiveness and fire insurance. Because sometimes we think that, well, I'm forgiven of my sins. I have eternal internal security or fire insurance. I'm good to go. Not so much. Now I want to say to you, there's more for us to live in our inheritance. There's more for us to have in our inheritance. There's more for us to see the glory of God. You know, in Formula One racing, when they finish the checkered flag and everyone goes, yay, they've won the race. May I suggest to you that in the Christian walk, when you come to Jesus, you get the checkered flag, but that's just the beginning of the race. It's just the beginning of your journey. It's the beginning of, I've come to Christ, I live in Christ Jesus, I am saved, I have eternal insurance, which is all good, but there's so much more. Why? Because our lives, the eyes of our heart need more enlightenment. We need further enlightenment in where we're going. We must not just see Jesus as Savior, but Lord and Savior. There is a difference. Our lives and our inheritance, a Lord and Savior, rooted and grounded in His love and His Word, it's a package deal. By now you should be asking, what is this package deal He's ranting on about? What is the hope He has called you to? What is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us? What is the riches of His glory and inheritance? It is heavenly reward. It's the presence of God living our lives. It's reaping eternal life. It's being filled with God's Spirit. It's that power that He talks about. And sometimes you feel powerless. And you say, I know, this is not you and me, it's different. For me it's the same. Sometimes I pray and I feel there's a brass heaven above me and that didn't go through. And sometimes I feel that God is chasing me down. God is hounding me and the enemy is coming along and he's putting strange thoughts in my head and I'm torn because I'm human. But it doesn't matter what the situation, I know I have a glorious inheritance. I know what my hope is. I know there's an immeasurable inheritance He has for me. When we live only as forgiveness and eternal security, it's like the ever-deflating balloon. So we come to church on Sunday, and worship is amazing, and prayer is amazing. And we do our whole thing here, and we go, oh God, You're glorious. And then the preacher gets up, and he teaches and preaches, and it's like someone blowing air into your balloon. And by the time you're ready to go out to have coffee, you're like, hold me down, brother. Hold me down, sister. I'm so excited. The glory of God is upon me and everything. And as we walk out those doors, air starts to come out. You start to feel it. Then you face your boss on Monday morning. And then you face a neighbor next week. And then I'm going off to prayer meeting. And we go out, whoa, that was an amazing prayer meeting. Did you feel the presence of God? And then we go to work Wednesday, Thursday morning. And if you're fortunate somewhere along the line, or if you've chosen to, you go to life group. Wow, man, this is so good. I trust you get my point. The point is that we're just living from hour to hour, day to day. And I know we do that. But what the problem is that you just know, I'm saved and I've got eternal security and I don't understand anything that you're talking about, this inheritance. And I don't know how to walk in it, I don't know how to carry on with it. And some of you have been Christians for 30, 40 years. It's the same, man. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. There is no escape route for the air. It's been sealed by the blood of the Holy Spirit. And we go around, we like those, helium balloons. Don't ever try and ingest some helium balloon because you end up talking like this. Funny, it's not healthy for you, but of course. So we need to know that we need further enlightenment. Your inheritance on earth is one where you reign in righteousness, not as the ever deflating balloon. When you don't live in your full inheritance, you're always fighting against discouragement. And I know some of you are discouraged. I get discouraged. Let me just tell you the truth. I know, there was a friend of mine once said, I'm not lying to you, I'm telling you the truth. Lord, you're the preacher, you're not supposed to lie at any given time. We always fight against the discouragement, oppression, low self-esteem, misunderstanding who and whose you are in Christ Jesus. It's a daily battleground. We fail to grasp hold of the glorious and amazing abundant life, the hope, the glorious inheritance, the immeasurable greatness of the power of ruling and reigning in victory. Taking ground, lost in the presence of God. Sometimes we have to practice being lost in the presence of God. Because to some it just doesn't come naturally. And this is a great opportunity. Come, close your eyes, forget about everybody around you. Worship the King, get lost in His presence. Holy Spirit, come into my life this morning. Come and invade me. Be open to living in that glorious inheritance. There we go. Our inheritance has been sealed, signed, and delivered through the death and the resurrection, the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. When this transaction took place on the cross, the new covenant was entered. Some of us still don't know. Well, what's the new covenant? I'm not sure. I hear old covenant speak, trying to close it in together with new covenant speak. Learn to discern the word. take place, and we see that the privilege of the new covenant are ours in Christ Jesus. That is our inheritance. For us to experience and to walk and live and breathe and live the life to the fullest. And not everything is experiential. But sometimes we need to remember the experiences to help us move into it. We can't just experience, because you will never mature. All you will be is the eternal experience junkie. And Kevin gave an amazing list last time when he preached. The second point, I want us to listen to this. Captured by the legalistic mind of striving. It's designed in our mental checklist, which is geared for us to fail. You know, when we were kids, I don't know if the teenagers do today, especially the girls, they take the flower. Loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me not. And at the end of it, you're going, man, I don't know if he loves me, I don't know if he loves me not. And we get confused. And then the boy comes along and says, I want you to prove you love me. And we know what happens and where that ends. He loves me, he loves me not. I have something to do to make me love me. I have something to do with Jesus trying to make me do something to love me. That is a lie from the devil. Jesus' flower goes like this. He loves me, he loves me. He loves me, he loves me. He loves me, he loves me. I'm not confused. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to prove to him that I love him, if you understand what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. He loves me. His love, we sang it this morning, is glorious, it's amazing, it's above all, it's everything. He loves me, he loves me. He loves me, he loves me. The legalistic mind of striving says, I can live a life not pleasing to God and still be under grace. I'm under grace, so I can go out and sin and claim the grace card. This is a very, very shallow understanding of grace. We have forgone the conviction of sin, which is unbelief, and we have become hard-hearted towards God. We don't have a tender heart towards God. Because when we purposefully sin and live a life of sin, claiming to be a Christian, have we ever once thought how it must break God's heart? But His grace is extended towards us. It doesn't mean we can just pull out the grace card. It means we have a low self-esteem. It means we don't understand grace. We don't understand our inheritance. Legalism will drive us towards our mental checklist on how we should live and do and say the right things. When things aren't seemingly working, then we try harder. Then we go, well, I missed my Bible reading today. I better read 2 chapters tomorrow. Now, reading a Bible and praying and attending church and gathering together with saints is all biblical. It's all healthy. It's all good. But when it becomes a law on your back that if you don't do this, then God's going to be angry with you, that's the wrong heart. The heart is, if I miss my Bible reading today, God gets it, but I'm going to try not to do that again tomorrow. And He's gracious towards us. And He loves us. And when we read His Word and we understand His Word, we get to understand His ways and we walk in His ways and we go, aha, I get it. Now I'm walking in Your inheritance that You've given me, Lord. In the last days, it gives a description of people will become like 2 Timothy 3:5. It says they have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. And we wonder why. Well, I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing happens. Great example of knowing your Bible, reading it every day, praying 5 times a day, going to the synagogue, doing everything they should do. Pharisees. Wow. Yeah, Mark, that's harsh. But that's the truth. They were the religious police of the day. I don't know who I was telling this the other day, when the prayer of Jabez came out. Everyone read that book? The prayer of Jabez? So we had this nutter in our church. He's got four young boys growing up, and he got them up at 5 o'clock every morning and made them pray the prayer of Jabez 5 times. I said, why are you doing that? Well, no, because if they don't pray the prayer of Jabez, I said, can I tell you something? I said, Jabez didn't teach us to pray. Jesus did. Oh. The kids were like, oh, Dad. And they're not praying the prayer of Jabez. They're just reading some letters on a page. It meant nothing to them. But their father decided this would be good for them. That's what I call legalism. The fact that you're reading out the Bible doesn't make it any different. It means you're captured, your mind is being captured by legalism. Are we good? We have this checklist that we go through all the time. Now we have our legalistic checklist, and if I do this and I do that, then I'm good, then I'm okay, then I'm self-righteous. And you feel good about yourself when you're doing it. Well, I prayed every day this week, brother. I read the scripture 4 times this week, brother. I was out there and I raised my hand and I said, hallelujah, brother. The point is, the checklist becomes the standard to which we adhere to in order for God to love us more and more and more, because we feel good about ourselves when we do it. Please don't walk away now and say, Mark says we don't have to read the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. It's good to have a morning devotion to connect with your Heavenly Father. The scheme of the enemy is to make us fail. Do you know that? The enemy's job, his resume, is to kill you, and destroy you. When we put on our checklist so we can achieve, the game that he makes is designed to destroy you. Because we will always, hear me carefully, we will always, always underperform. You will never perform to the standard. Wow, Mark, how can you say that? Just carry on listening. We will underperform because we will always have this power against us that we're living in. We try to achieve. And this, I'm not talking about days, minutes. I'm talking weeks, months, years. We try to achieve and we fail. And when we fail, we become discouraged. And then when we get discouraged, we say, well, I better do try this hard. I must try harder. So we make another attempt. And we attempt the list that we've got, our little checklist. And not everybody's is the same. And then we fail again. And now I'm such a failure. I can't make it. This Christian life is too hard for me. I can't do it. But I'm going to try one more. I'm going to whip myself. I'm going to beat myself up internally and externally. And I'm going to have another go at it. Because now I need to reassert myself. And I even go and buy a new Bible and I start marking it up again. And I carry it with me wherever I go. And you fail. And now I'm really discouraged. I really give up. I beat myself up. And then I go back to my old way of life because I just can't do this Christian thing. I am more convinced that discouragement... If you're discouraged, listen today. I'm convinced that more discouragement will destroy a Christian's life than any other failing that we have. Now there are two brothers or sisters who work together. They're called legalism and licentiousness. Now they appear at two ends of the spectrum. Legalism, and then we work towards grace, and we miss grace, we go on to licentiousness and says, I can do what I like. What is the L? I just call them the L and L twins, so you know. Legalism is all the rules and regulations that we attempt to adhere to, our checklist. And if we do this right, and if you make sure that you do that, and if you run faster, jump over more mountains, if you climb through valleys, swim rivers, you're doing it for the gospel and therefore you're good. Licentiousness is the desire to be bad. It's behavior that is bad and immoral. They are agents of the devil who love to play together. I hope I get this right. I want to tell you about a conversation that the two of them have. So this is Brother Licentiousness says, why don't you steal something? Just fudge the books. Just, you know, don't pay your taxes. Just do something small. Now, of course, because you're a good Christian. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Why don't you commit adultery? Isn't that girl or that guy looking pretty good? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, because I'm a good Christian. Licentiousness says, why don't you just tell them a lie? Just lie to them. Just, they won't know you lying. Just lie. Just this once. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Licentiousness goes off to legalism and says to legalism, man, I've tried. I've tried hard with this guy, with this girl. It's not working. Why don't you try? Legalism comes along and says, you're an on fire Christian. You're an on fire Christian. You amen and you sing in church. Are you praying 1 hour every day? Oh, no, I'm not. Can't you tarry with me? Don't you love that language? Don't you want to tarry with me just for 1 hour a day? Okay, I'll try. Do you know that Daniel fasted and prayed for 3 days? Do you know that I think he probably fasted and prayed, when he prayed at least 1 hour each time, 3 times a day. He had angelic visitations. He was so spiritual. Don't you think you want to be like that? Don't you want angelic visions and visitations? Okay, I'll try harder. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you get up earlier. You get up at 3 o'clock in the morning because you know that's when God listens the most. And you learn, you pray, and you do your whole thing. And then by the time you get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, your head's hitting the desk because you're exhausted. And you're trying harder and you're trying harder. And then you become discouraged. Huh. This is legalism talking still. If you're so spiritual, and you're so mature, why aren't you a leader in the church? Why aren't you on the ministry team? Why aren't you seeing people saved? Why don't you evangelize if you're such a, I'll try harder. I'm trying. I'll try harder so they'll notice me. After months and sometimes years, this Christian feels so discouraged, they haven't even made the grade. They feel such a failure. They feel totally whipped and depressed. Then legalism goes to his brother licentiousness and says, I think he's ready for you now. And then licentiousness steps in. He says, you've been good for so long. Why don't you just go out and enjoy yourself? Why don't you go and have a couple of glasses of wine? Don't have one, have a couple. Enjoy yourself. You deserve it. It'll do you good. Have another one. Go on, just treat yourself. Why don't you go and smoke some weed? You know, you should chill. You deserve it. You've been so good. It's okay if you sleep with that guy or that girl. You've never done it before. You're okay. Just go and do it. Just once. Before long, you swung from legalism to licentiousness and all that striving that put the rules and the regulations in place have become your checklist. And now you burn with the desire to say, to do those same things. And you feel you failed, but you don't care anymore. In legalism and licentiousness, nod their heads at each other across the room, and they wink at each other, and they have a faint smile upon their face, and say, we did our job good. Why do you think I'm telling you all that? Because we want to break the power of the L and L twins over our lives. We don't want to stand there. We don't want to walk there. We want to learn to say no in Christ Jesus. We want to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. We want to walk and live in the authority of the inheritance that we the saints have in Christ Jesus. It's not saved and in fire insurance. It's a package deal. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for what is the hope? What is the glorious inheritance? What is the immeasurable great power towards us? It's a story. I'm going to tell you another story about this guy who goes along and he desperately needs a vacation. So what does he do? He goes and buys a ticket to go on a cruise ship. Bucket list. He's always wanted to go on a cruise ship. He's always excited. So he goes and he pays the ticket and he's excited to go. And he gets on board and he looks at all the other passengers and he's got his little suitcase and he's so excited and he gets assigned his cabin and he goes in and he unpacks his suitcase and puts his stuff in the shelves and he takes out his little box of cheese and crackers because that's what he's decided he's going to eat for the 10-day cruise on the ship. And he's got his cheese and his crackers. And he goes out on his deck and the wind in his face and the salt air in his face and this is good and he's getting a suntan. But then every time at breakfast and lunch and dinner, he walks past the dining hall. And he sees all these people in the dining hall and he looks and he goes, wow. And he goes down to his little cabin and he munches on his cheese and crackers. And something starts to grow inside of him. And every time he walks past, he sees them and he starts to get angry and jealous. How can they afford so much? And I've saved for the last 3 years to do this trip. And I've saved and I've scrimped and I've scraped and I've paid my ticket. Where'd they get all the money to go into that dining hall and eat at the buffet? And the shrimp and the lobster and the roast beef and the turkey and pick your favorite food. It's there. And by the time he's finished, he's angry. And he hasn't enjoyed his vacation. And as they're lining off to go down the gangplank, he's standing there and the one guy says to him, so how was your vacation? He says, man, I loved the cruise. It was great. And I mean, the movie theater and what they had and this pool. Man, look at me. I've got such a tan. He says, great, man. The guy says, you know, I was on the cruise the whole time. I never saw you in the dining hall, the banquet hall once. Where were you? He says, what do you mean? He says, didn't you know the food was included? It was a package deal. Only if I could afford the ticket for the cruise. It's a package deal, but unfortunately that's what we like in the church. Salvation, fire insurance, and that's it. And we sit at the bus stop of hope. Waiting to go to heaven with Jesus. And we don't walk in the inheritance because it's a package deal. I think sometimes we need to understand that it's not just salvation, it's not just forgiveness of sins and eternal security. It's our salvation is a whole new life, a new covenant. That we enter into incredible life of God, favor, blessing, privileges. I think we should learn to do altar calls differently. The evangelist never told you it was a package deal. Come to Jesus. All your sins will be forgiven. That's it. That's not it. Your package deal. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heaven place. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. So that the praise of His glorious grace which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. We missed that out. Which He has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose which He set forth in Christ. So as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and believed in Him, we're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit and the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of His glory. That's what salvation is. That is the inheritance. That's what we receive. And when we do an altar call, we should say, anybody want to be blessed in Christ Jesus in the fullness of His inheritance? Come to the front now. I'm not shouting at you. I'm excited. And we've got to understand that there is more for us. Paul's theology didn't go like salvation and fire insurance. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own only son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? My life's miserable. I don't know what to do. Walk in your inheritance. Take hold of this truth. Go home. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 15, 14. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Get it into your spirit. I have all the blessings in Christ Jesus. I'm so excited about that. Amen, Mark. Hallelujah. Whew. Salvation is only actualized or appropriated in our lives when we believe. Jesus died 2,000 years ago and more. We know that. And He paid for our sins. When you come to Christ, when you say, I do, yes, Lord. That's not when your sins were forgiven. They were given 2,000 years, but this is when you actualize it. And when we actualize that, there's another thing that we have to actualize and understand, that we need the revelation and the forgiveness is when we accept Christ by faith. We need a revelation that we're not living an impoverished inheritance. We all have a budget. Well, some have a budget. But the problem is that when we get to the end of the budget month, there's still more month to go. And that's how we live. But when you come to Christ, if we can make this analogy, because I know you all understand money. When we get to money, and someone came along and put $1 million in your bank and didn't tell you. Yes, there we go. Now we're excited. That's just like your salvation and your fire insurance. When they put $1 million, but the problem is we go through our Christian life, and we're swiping just like, well, I've got a little budget. I don't know what to do. I'm not too sure. God's not that big. God can't really take care of my provision. God can't really look after me. I'm battling to look after myself. But if someone told me they put $1 million in my bank, I would be doing some serious swiping. And that's what we need to view. The kingdom of God. The inheritance, the richness, the immeasurable power. We need to go out and do some serious swiping. Just pay attention. I'm not being literally. Don't go out and swipe seriously on your things and come back and tell me, Mark, you said we can and now I'm in debt. That's not what I'm saying. Man, our bank has been loaded with a great inheritance, with His blessings, His adoption, His power, signed, sealed and delivered, the power and authority of the glory of God. Last one. The riches of His glorious inheritance. We fight the fight of good works. No, we don't. We fight the fight of good faith. To enter His rest. Salvation is more than forgiveness and inheritance. Salvation is faith plus grace and grace. Grace gets us there. Faith helps us to live there. It's a mathematical quantum physics. Faith plus grace equals the fullness of God equals the glorious inheritance of the saints. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. It's that which we fight, the fight of good faith to enter His rest. Jesus is the Sabbath. The New Covenant, there is no longer a special day. Every day is a Sabbath day. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. We enter into Him, into His rest, when we come to Christ Jesus with our inheritance. Paul did not fight the fight of good works, fought the fight of good faith. He never had a checklist. I can live in His rest. Why? Because it's a package deal. And some Christians understand it and they get a bit. They get, I'm forgiven. There's forgiveness. There's justification. There's unconditional love of God. There's the intimacy with the Father. There's the promise of provision. The joy of the Lord. We need a lot of that. Peace of God. Power in prayer. Full victory. Authority. Gifts of the Spirit. Etc., etc., etc. And you can add to them. The problem is there are still people who live just with the mentality of forgiveness of sins and eternal. So you can say, well, isn't that enough? Not if you want to live the abundant life. The grace of God, the blessings we have in Christ. Ephesians 1 again. And the truth is, there are some who still live. And this is not a... because we all go there sometimes. Some people still live with depression and fears and phobias, unhappiness, worry and anxiety, powerlessness, insecurity, and the limp of rejection. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. We have a life to live. And so we know Scripture tells us that sometimes we get knocked down, but we've got to get up. It's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up. Live with a measure of Christ's inheritance. That which we've appropriated. That which we have, when I mean that which we have believed in. They remain in a limited measure of inheritance. Our lives are not to be striving against legalism and licentiousness, or striving for the checklist. Spend going full out to enter the rest of God. That's what we should be doing. We have a realization of our inheritance, and this is called the fight of faith. In closing, when I sin, so this is what we should say, when I sin and fall short, I don't head for the checklist. I stay away from the L and L twins. I'm not captured by the legal mindset of striving. I acknowledge there's more enlightenment I need. Go back to point one. We need further enlightenment. I know there's a hope to which He has called me to. There is an immeasurable greatness of His power towards me. There are the riches of His glorious inheritance. I realize... we realize there is a peace, and it is different for each of us. There is a peace of mind here, and I'm not fully enjoying. So I confess and I say, Lord, what is the part of my inheritance that I do not understand, that causes the precipitation of my propensity towards this sin? Understand, sin is not rooted in behavior. Sin is rooted in unbelief. Sin is not rooted in behavior. That is a symptom of your unbelief. I don't believe God's big enough. I don't believe God's going to provide for me. I don't believe God's going to love me as much as I need to be loved. I don't believe that is possible. I don't believe. I never believed when I came here that God would ever allow us to own our own house again. I left South Africa coming here thinking, well, that's it, babes, we're going to rent for the rest of our lives. The story is incredible. Against all odds. Because we prayed a deep and long 1 hour, 3 times a day, 1 hour. Nonsense, I didn't. Ridge and I sat in the bedroom and we said, Lord, if you want us to have this house, we were renting it at the time, we need a miracle. Amen. We believed. We handed it over to Him. I don't have enough finances to tithe. I don't believe God's going to provide for me. The greatest pleasure I had was the day when we came to Canada and I could tithe for the first time into this church. I was like walking on air, because we've seen God's provision in that area time and time and time and time again. I don't know how it works. I do know that it does work. Let's just stand together, please. close your eyes. Don't worry about anybody around you. Just say this with me or say it in your heart. Just listen to it. Acknowledge it. Jesus, I believe in you and I'm trusting in your word. And on the basis of what you did for me, which eradicates this sin, it is no longer a part of my life. No longer part of my will. I'm trusting you that it will be removed forever in order that I walk in my full inheritance. I acknowledge it's a package, dear Lord. Father, we want more of you. We stand on a threshold today, Lord God. And Father, we believe that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us, that he has given us a hope, that he has given us the riches of his glorious inheritance to us, and that there is an immeasurable greatness of his power towards us, according to the workings of his great might. I am the righteousness of God, not because of what I do, but because what he has done for me. If this message spoke to you today, why don't you just take a few minutes just to talk to our Heavenly Father. Say, Lord, you know this issue. He knows the beginning from the end. It's nothing's hidden. Say, Lord, I want the full package deal. I want to walk in my full inheritance. This is an area that I'm not seeing in my life, Lord God. Blessed be your name. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Thank you, Lord, that we've been adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, sons and daughters. That in you, Lord God, we have redemption through your blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of your grace, which you lavish upon us in all wisdom and insight. Thank you, Lord God, that you will make known to us the mystery of your will, according to your purpose for our lives. Thank you for the fullness of time that you will unite us all together in you. Thank you, Lord God, that in you we have obtained this full package inheritance. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit, that this has been sealed in our lives. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.